that just crosses the threshold that CDC kind of has set for when people should maybe consider masking, particularly when they're inside with public, you know, public locations and things like that. So it's in that what they call substantial range. It's not the highest level of activity, but it's next to the highest level that they've got in their current rating system for that.
Are you worried about the current trends that you're seeing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm thinking that we will see more, and particularly as we kind of get into the normal cold and flu season, I think that may also accelerate some of the spread of this Delta variant now, which is what we're really seeing across the nation. And that's troublesome because this virus is much different than the COVID versions that we saw way back last year when we had our surges. This one is much more contagious. It's reported that the levels of virus that people develop in their nose and throats with this one can be 1,000 times higher than what we were seeing with the other earlier COVID variants, which means it's really easily, it's more easily transmitted because people are just shedding and putting more virus into the air as they breathe, cough, and do that sort of stuff. So you don't have to be in the presence of somebody that's infected for as long a period of time in order to potentially get infected. One of the other measures that they report about how this Delta variant is different than the other earlier variants that we had is that earlier when we were in our surges, it was kind of figured out that for each person that got infected, they would infect another 2.5 people. For the Delta variant, it's for 6 people to get infected for one. So that's kind of almost a threefold increase in just how contagious this is. And that's why this is taking off in the unvaccinated population like it is.
How about the vaccination levels here in Woodbury County? How are they looking? I think we've lagged behind a little bit.
I think our vaccination levels are running about 50% or a little bit over 50%, which means half the population that is eligible isn't vaccinated, and so they're the group that are at risk. The other thing that is occurring is that there are people that have been fully vaccinated that are coming in with symptoms. So it's one misunderstanding I think people have about what vaccination does for you. It doesn't mean that you can't get develop a low-grade infection if you were exposed to the virus again. If you inhale, say, the Delta virus and you're with someone with shedding a high level, you may get a large enough dose that the immune system that you have in place from the vaccine may not be able to completely control the initial infection that develops. And so you may develop symptoms and whatnot, but hopefully, and what we're still seeing is that the number of people who get to the point where they're severely infected, where they need to be hospitalized, we're still seeing that the vaccines are very effective in maintaining that 90-95% protection as we did with the initial series of vaccines that were done. So. And the other thing, most of the people that have what they call this COVID breakthrough in terms of for people that are vaccinated, most of those people actually are not symptomatic at all. But there's concern just because of the high viral load that people that are infected can develop. There's some concern that maybe even people who are vaccinated could potentially infect others. And that's why I think they're going and saying everyone should be masking, even vaccinated people, in close indoor places, when you're in the public spaces, as a precaution, particularly when your levels of COVID in the community is up in that substantial range that the CDC has set.
When you're looking at vaccination rates, though, what do you think is keeping the other 50% from going in? There's a concern with some, maybe that they feel like it's not safe, it's not proven, but this is something that you know all about. I don't know why sometimes people aren't listening to the medical professionals.
I know there's a lot of misinformation, unfortunately, political, you know, overlay that has really, I think, been a disservice for folks to really understand how effective and safe the vaccines that we have are. like there's conspiracy theories that exist out there about there's other stuff in the vaccine than just the vaccine for the COVID portion of this. So I think that there's fear that's played into this. People just not wanting to be told what they should be doing, or that they don't want to be told that they have to do it. So this mandating things is a real challenge for some folks to accept. And like I say, these vaccines, there's two ways that we're going to get out of, two pathways that we're going to take to get out of this pandemic that we're in. One, either get people vaccinated, or two, people get COVID. And eventually the herd immunity, the number of people in the community, will get to the point where the numbers are high enough that you just kind of break the whole ability for this to be transmitted from one person to the other. But doing it the natural way, which is going through infection, is risky. It's kind of Russian roulette for COVID. So, people really need to consider getting the vaccine. They work. They do protect people. They reduce your chance of potentially infecting someone else if you do have COVID breakthrough. And that's the only way that this is really going to be stopped going forward. So, yeah, hopefully everybody will do that. Now, I know that the concerns are some people say, well, I will get it as soon as they license this. And thinking that the reason why it's being used under this emergency use kind of authorization is that there's still something that we don't know about this vaccine in terms of its ability to work or how safe it is. And we probably have more safety profile information about this and the kinds of unusual side effects and complications that people are developing with this are just vanishingly small. The likelihood of someone developing one of those is minimal. And we know what the most common ones are, although they're completely very uncommon, but the physicians know what to look for in their treatments for what can develop as a side effect of the vaccination. So, and the licensing takes time. That's the problem with the FDA. There's a very rigid series of events and reviews and data that need to be submitted to the FDA. And since they went to an emergency use authorization, that kind of sidetracked the ability to collect the data of everybody getting vaccinated. But the clinical trials still go on. But I'm thinking the vaccine didn't come out until end of last year. So there's probably a requirement for collecting a whole year's worth of data before FDA would even begin to look at licensing it. But it will still be the same vaccine. There won't be any change to the vaccine, but I'm certain that it will be licensed. So people are holding off for that reason. I don't know that that's a legitimate reason or a safe reason for not getting the vaccine. And I know there's other people that are concerned with, like I know for nurses and things and young women of childbearing age, there's concern about, could this somehow impact my fertility? Those kinds of studies are ongoing again. Hopefully there will be enough data collected to convince folks that it's safe for the mom, safe for the infant to get that. So there's those kinds of things that operate in people's minds that may be preventing them from getting the vaccine. And then there's concern about the side effects, but the side effects are short-lived. You can be very uncomfortable, but I think the benefit of being vaccinated and protected should you be exposed to the real Delta virus is key for folks to keep in mind.
You were talking about, of course, the significant spread that we're seeing right now in Woodbury County, the CDC recommending that people, even if they're vaccinated, wear masks. They're also recommending students in school wear them this fall. But the state of Iowa, they banned local jurisdictions from having a mask mandate. What are your thoughts about that? I mean, should we, obviously, from what you've been saying, people need to put the masks on?
In my opinion, yes, I think that's a misdirected, misguided decision. Their masks do work and are very effective, particularly for those who are unvaccinated, to prevent them from spreading it to others. I think it's a no-brainer myself. And I would see, even when we get beyond COVID, which probably won't be until now next year or beyond, I think masking during the flu and cold and flu season is not an unwise thing to do. We've seen ourselves locally the testing that we do here at St. Luke's, we did not see any flu cases or what they call RSV cases, respiratory syncytial virus cases, last year's flu season through this year. Now, however, as people have started to unmask and go out in public, we are seeing an upsurge in the RSV, the respiratory syncytial, in the young kids. It's thought that that's sort of a young infant child's kind of respiratory illness. But we're also seeing it, and have seen it the last couple of years, showing up in the elderly. Folks are coming in that do have get it can actually make adults ill as well. And there are outbreaks of this. If you go down south, like into Texas and whatnot, they're having very large outbreaks of RSV in their population, along with COVID. And I think it's all related to the fact of we were masking and we were, you know, washing and disinfecting our hands, and we were distancing ourselves when we were, you know, close to others. Telling folks, you know, don't go to work, don't go to school. If you have symptoms that suggest that you've got something like COVID, go get tested and figure out what you've got, and stay put until you kind of get out of the contagious stage. So, you know, those all still play, are at play, and I think going forward, I'm sure we'll hopefully be able to do something like that, and maybe we can do it on a voluntary basis versus mandating, but just make people really aware that they do work, they keep people healthy, and I know they just didn't have much in terms of cold and flu, people missing work for those kinds of things, like normally happens during the cold and flu season, both here at the hospital, and I know it in the schools and things. I think teachers have reported anecdotally that they just didn't get sick, and the kids were not getting sick with the usual kind of other cold and flu stuff that goes around seasonally in the fall.
Is there anything else that you would like people to know about COVID-19, about the Delta variant? Anything else while I have you here?
I guess just to reinforce the fact that the Delta variant is very real. It's really highly contagious, and the best things to do are to get yourself vaccinated. You need to try, you know, educate yourself. There's other concerns that you might have, but your other option in order to actually stop the ongoing pandemic, the ongoing outbreak we have, is for folks to somehow get exposed to the virus, which is not the way you want to do it, go get the vaccine, and then try to adhere to all of the recommendations that are coming out of the CDC, because that's how that's going to drop our levels back down to a manageable level, and hopefully prevent any other variants from developing, because as long as people are getting infected, there's an opportunity for the virus to mutate and take on additional, even worse properties than the really highly contagious nature of the Delta variant that we've got.